Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel. Joining me in studio, and this is great to have Molly Morningstar with us. Molly is a medium. She has been doing this work, thankfully, in the Midwest area lately because home is in the Midwest. Is that true, Molly?
Yes. I live in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, which is about an hour north of Milwaukee.
Okay. I love Sheboygan. Been there many times. Have family all through Wisconsin. But I found out about you through a mutual friend who said that she was at one of your events in Sheboygan, actually. And it's been coming up. Got to interview Molly. So I shot you an email, and I'm really glad that I heard back. So thanks for taking the time to be here
Absolutely.
With us.
Absolutely. I always love coming to the city.
So, for you, now I know because I've been researching the heck out of you, but for the listeners that don't know, this is not a path that you were like, oh, I can't wait to be a medium. This happened and you were reluctant to go down this path, weren't you?
Totally. I really didn't have a choice, though. So I have no interest or background in mediumship or spiritual work whatsoever. And I think that that's probably the thing that makes me the most different and the most unique of just about anybody else that I've ever met that is a medium.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was 34 years old, which was almost 10 years ago now, I had an experience where my ability to connect with people who have died literally opened up all at once, like in like a very fast episode.
And would you mind sharing what happened?
I hate sharing it.
Great.
This is like the last thing that I ever want to talk about. Right. But it's always what people want to know because mm-hmm. people are like, oh, you know, did you see dead people when you were little? And I'm like, no.
Right. No, I was 34, minding my own business, had kids.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah. It was on March 14th. It was a Friday night. And I had had a headache for 2 days. So I've had migraines for about 20 years. And I had a really debilitating migraine for about 2 days to the point where I had to take time off of work. And the headache had lifted and I went to bed that night and I was pretty exhausted from it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a person who is not very religious, but definitely believing in some higher power. So I pray before I go to sleep. I'm a single mother of two people mm-hmm. that I'm responsible for. So I always like to say I was praying before I fell asleep. It was like so basic of a prayer, like, God help me, please provide for my family.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a really good prayer.
Hey, you covered the bases,
special.
Right? You weren't too specific.
Special.
All right.
And then all of a sudden, in my room, I heard an audible voice that said, love is the best tool for healing. And as I heard that voice, I felt a sensation on the top of my head, right up the very back center of it, which I can only describe as like electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt it near the top of my head, and it came through my body into my fingers and my toes, and it felt like a swirling motion coming down through me. And looking back, I can tell you that I wasn't panicked and I wasn't alarmed, but I don't know why. But I just laid there, and I was just kind of stunned, and I didn't know what was going on. And I would say it lasted a couple minutes, maybe like 10 minutes at the most, and then that spot on my head began to hurt really bad, and I thought this should probably stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of passed out. And when I woke up the next day, all of this extrasensory ability was turned on.
Mm.
So at a level that was so intense that absolutely nobody could withstand it. And literally 2 weeks later, I had a full-on nervous breakdown. And I mean, like, in the fetal position in somebody's yard screaming like a lunatic because I had no idea what was happening to me.
And because of that panic, now I've had a panic attack, but I can't even imagine that being tenfold in nervous breakdown land. So
it was really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really bad. It was easily the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I didn't know what had happened to me, and nobody knew what had happened to me. And, you know, and I'm saying that I'm seeing things, I'm feeling things, I'm hearing things. There's lights flying across the room, and everybody just thought I went nuts.
And so did you get, you know, recommended certain doctors? I mean, seriously, in the turn of the century, women went to asylums for this stuff, and I think they were very intuitive in many cases.
Luckily for me, things worked out, you know, in retrospect, the way that they needed to. So I actually got sent to my stepmother, who lives in Pennsylvania, and she picked me up at the airport, and she had with her a friend who is a healer, spiritual healer. My stepmother, who is very, very close to me, always has been since I was 8 years old. She's very spiritual.
Nice.
Always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And so she brought her healer friend along, and the healer took one look at me and she said, oh, you're a medium. And I'm like, what is that?
What do I do now?
Yeah. Right. And so that began what really over the course of a few months, I had some good luck. I was selling vintage clothing at the time, and I had some really good sales, and I was able to kind of cocoon myself at home for about 6 weeks while mm-hmm. I sorted this all out. And then again, through some more good luck and fate, I found myself in England at the Arthur Findlay College for the Psychic Sciences, where I went to figure out how to get rid of this.
So here you are in England. Did you find that when you're attempting to, quote, get rid of this, that the tools that you learned helped you turn it off?
No, I can't turn it off.
Okay, got it.
There's no getting rid of this.
Okay, cool.
So I found it was here to stay. So what happened when I got there, really quite instantly, was thankfully there were a lot of older tutors. That's the benefit of going to this place, is that you have people that are in their 70s and 80s that have been mediums their whole life who will sit down and talk to you.
Nice.
And so the very first time the teacher sat down with me, she kind of took me step by step through a reading. And the very first time I ever tried, I was pulling up names, relative details, things and about her deceased mother and things. And that's when the lights went on for me. Because I walked away from that, from being like this person who was like in chaos, to being like, what the heck did I just do?
Right. Especially when it's such a specific thing that wasn't in your consciousness prior, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. So this name and all these specifics come flying in, sure, and you're like, okay, wait a second. This is. For you, do you need to hear a birthday? Do you need to hear someone's voice?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I personally, now this is years later, mm-hmm, I prefer to work with somebody on a completely and absolutely anonymous level, as anonymous as we can get. So if you would like to book a session with me, feel free to book under a false name.
Right.
I really promote to people to book a phone session, because then you're having a blind reading.
I did that. So, I'll tell you, when I started on this journey 15 years ago, I booked mine with a false name. One person, I only give my first name, Jen. You know, find me a needle in a haystack. But, you know, I'm skeptical by nature. I'm a journalist by nature. So it's good to be skeptical, but sometimes too skeptical can shut it down. Is that right? Or do you think you can still tap in if it's necessary?
Well, I think that somebody can shut down a psychic reading because you can close off your energy to being right psychically. But a medium connects upstairs, as I like to say. So if there's a deceased person who wants to come through and give a message, a medium should be able to connect with them and talk to a brick wall.
Sure. Absolutely.
So, you know, and I've done all kinds of experiments with it, especially in the beginning, to see how far you could push it and what you could do. So one thing that I did that was really interesting was, I can't remember what I called it, but I would sit down and try to connect with one soul and write down a couple paragraphs about what I was getting, and then I'd put it up on my Facebook page. I called it a random message.
Nice.
And I would just put it out there. So I had only about 4,000 followers at the time, but every single message, I did this for about a year, twice a week for a year, somebody came and validated every single message. So there was never one that was left out. And it was nothing generic. It was never things like, oh, I got somebody's grandmother's hair. She died of old age in the nursing home. She liked to bake cookies. It was nothing like that. It was really specific things, several names, situations, death circumstances, random stuff.
Right. So in all these years of doing these readings, what can you say you absolutely know for sure that happens?
I know two things.
Okay.
That's it.
Cool.
That's it. I know that only the physical body dies.
Mm-hmm.
So the consciousness of who we are definitely lives on. And I know for sure that that consciousness can communicate.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay. And with everyone, it's different. For me, in the beginning, my dad was sending me cardinals because that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Now he's kind of upped his game a little bit. And like, he's got other people mentioning his name out of nowhere at public events, or, you know, they'll just come up and be like, oh my gosh, you're Jennifer Weigel. I met your father, Tim, at, you know, the Old Orchard movie theater, coming out of a movie, like just the most random things. And I'm like, oh, good. Way to show up that way. Is there a limit to how long they can communicate with you? Like, he's been gone 15 years and he's still chatting.
Yeah, no, there's no limit. I did a reading a couple years ago for a lady who lost both of her parents in a plane crash when she was like 9. She was now in her late 50s, and they're like that.
Boom.
You know, there's no time limit that I know of. In fact, I myself, in different readings over the years, I've gotten messages from my grandfather who died before I was born.
There you go.
I've given messages to people from deceased relatives that died before they were born. So I don't believe that there's a time limit. Frame.
Mm-hmm. So for somebody out there that's curious about this and about how it works, for them, if they're curious, that's probably a good start.
That's curious is always a good start.
But then there's also being realistic about what your abilities are. I know a lot of people who are kind of psychic wannabes and medium wannabes, and maybe they have a good sense. We were talking about this before we started recording. Maybe they have a good sense of, I don't know, they've had a couple of things go right when they thought, oh, I'm thinking about so-and-so, and then that person called. So then they want to label themselves as a psychic or as a medium. Mm-hmm. It takes more than that. Not everybody has to go across the pond, right, to England and study, but there has to be some work done. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I have mixed feelings about all of it. Mm-hmm. So one thing, too, to note, when I opened up in this way, there really wasn't anywhere in the U.S. for me to go.
Right.
And because it's become so popular now, there's schools for every kind of psychic work and mediumship all over the U.S., so that trip across the pond is no longer necessary.
Right.
So that is kind of obliterated. And when we talk about somebody doing the work, you know, prior to opening up shop, I still have conflicted feelings about that. So I did go back to the Arthur Findlay College two more times in subsequent years to study with different older tutors and stuff. But I've never taken classes outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even random workshops, because I don't have a problem tuning in. My problem is, how do I live a normal life?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't need somebody to teach me how to tune in. I'm working with my own ability. So when people tell me that they've studied with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, you know, they're listing their accolades based on all their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. I've seen a small handful of people that were able to go to classes and develop a really strong ability. But most people, if you're like me, this is what you got, sister. It's
right.
Like, deal with it.
Exactly.
And so I don't know how important educating yourself is on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Right. That's true.
I'm kind of conflicted about all of it. It's different for everybody.
And I've interviewed some people that do get called for, quote, ghost busting when things go bump in the night, you know, things are flying off of shelves. Do you believe that there are spirits that are, quote, haunting houses? Is that something that you, because I read one of your blogs and I'm just wondering what your take on that is right now.
Okay, so when I share my opinions,
yes,
about anything to do with dead people, I share opinions that I am basing on my experiences.
Perfect.
Okay, so this is my choice. This is what I have chosen to promote. My experiences have led me to know that everybody who dies is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bad people who have died are okay.
Mm-hmm.
That when you die, your soul is then in the afterlife or spiritual world.
Right.
I have never seen any sign of there being anywhere else to go.
Sure.
So my belief is that that is not real.
That ghost busting is silly because there are no ghosts being haunted.
No, I did not say it is silly.
Okay, got it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do not want to let my opinions affect other people who believe deeply in it.
Totally.
It is just my opinion based on my experiences that it's all love and light and it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not the right person if you've got some kind of situation going on.
No, I don't have a situation. You know, yeah. I personally have been on video shoots with, you know,
yep.
quote, Ghostbusters. And the people who work at the bar or the house or the whatever, you know, that wherever they work, they explain stories of mm-hmm. things that have happened. And there we were on the shoot. And I mean, I got goosed in the butt by something, some energy that either had a really good sense of humor or just wanted to make me scream, you know, when the cameras were rolling because it happened. And, you know, it was one of those, well, what the heck was that? And I know it wasn't any of the members of the crew, and I know it wasn't any of the people that we were following around. So I'm like,
well, you opened yourself up to it. You put yourself in the position.
Yep.
And I don't open myself up to that. So
right.
I am not going to go investigate anybody.
And, yeah.
And that's really where my platform comes in. So I am here to help people who are grieving and
yep.
willing to do the work to work through their grief. And that is it.
Right.
I do not do psychic readings. I don't investigate anything. My platform is to help people who are grieving to realize that we carry on and mm-hmm. we're still able to connect. So if I were to tell some bereaved mother, actually, your daughter who was violently murdered is now stuck in this place where she was murdered and didn't cross over, I think that would be just about the most horrible, irresponsible thing that a medium or a psychic could do
mm-hmm.
to a bereaved mother. So I will have nothing to do with it.
Absolutely. And do some of the people on the other side ever give you things for the clients that come to you that could be considered psychic, like advice, like don't buy that house? I mean, or is that not what they want to do?
No, that does crop up from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember how the psychic faculty works. So when I tune in, I tune into a discarnate energy rather than to you, which would be a psychic reading.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be some psychic mixed into that.
Sure.
And a lot of the evidence that is received helps us to, is that psychic evidence or is it something that the dead person is showing? So here's an example. So I was doing a reading out in California a few years ago for a family that lost a son due to random gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
And the reading was going really well. And the son communicated that he wanted his mother to use her voice against gun violence. And she said to me that she was very unsure of that, that she had been thinking about it a lot. It was really heavy on her mind, but she didn't know if she could speak of her son's death in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I reiterated again, I said, it's very important that you use your voice so your son doesn't become a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my mind, I saw him show me a brand new broom in a kitchen. And I said, and he wants to acknowledge the new broom in the kitchen. And she looked at me with her eyes open. She said, I just bought a new broom.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I just bought a new broom for the kitchen. She says, I haven't had a new broom in 16 years. So that's generally how readings work with me. There's a message that I cannot prove,
mm-hmm.
something heartfelt, something emotional. And then there's some ridiculous little bit of evidence that just shows me that I got the message right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can kind of analyze it really, really carefully. Well, is that psychic information about the new broom or is that the dead person showing it?
Right. Exactly. Rebecca Rosen told me something very, very specific about it was something about a choice in a relationship that supposedly my dad was giving her this information. And then she said, by the way, were you thinking of making banana bread? She said to my friend. And that morning, my friend and I were talking about she's saving these dead bananas. And I'm like, either make the dang banana bread or throw those suckers out because the fruit flies are starting to bug me. conversation happened. So, some people are like, oh, well, that's just mind reading and that's just being a mentalist. And I'm still pretty impressed. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it shows that you're in the energy anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
So either way, either way it works.
Do you think we come back? Are we recycled? Do we have past lives, present lives? Do you
believe reincarnation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. I can only share my opinion based on my experiences. So
sure.
I have never had a situation where a client came for a reading and their loved one was not able to communicate because they had reincarnated.
Gotcha.
So
right.
That,
like they were recycled before we could reach out to them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a really big concern for spiritual people and people who have the feeling of losing their soulmate and bereaved parents.
Sure.
They do not want to get to heaven to find that their child is missing.
Sure.
So I've never had that happen. Mm-hmm. So I became curious and I did some research. I had a past life regression with a hypnotherapy lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a lot of books by Dr. Brian Weiss. And I think that the evidence is compelling.
Yes, very much.
So I don't write it off. But my experience has been that when somebody comes to me for a session, their loved ones are present and able to communicate.
Fantastic.
So I don't have an opinion.
There you go. Good, good, good. How old were your children when this hit for you at 34?
That's a good question. I guess they were in like middle or high school. So they're 22 and 23 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I noticed on your website that they kind of help out and take tickets at some of your events.
Yes, indeed.
Have they shown signs of having this gift as well?
Well, it's interesting. Both of them have had, their moments where they have either psychic dreams or psychic hits, but neither one of them have any interest whatsoever in dead people. Like, they see how, my life is and they certainly don't want to deal with that. And they both have their own interest in career paths anyway. But they've both shown really interesting things. My son and I were down the street at the Grand Lux Cafe after an event a couple years ago. And we were sharing a dessert and it was late at night. We had finished up late and he ordered a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting across the table from me. We're looking out the window and the snow was coming down over Cartier there.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, ooh, I wish I could have a sip of his coffee. And he put his hand on it and just slid it out to me across the table.
Perfect.
one day my daughter came downstairs and she says, Mom, I had a dream last night that we went to the DMV and my license plate that they put up was TEBJJJ or whatever. So we go to the place later that afternoon. They lay it out and there it is.
That license plate.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So no dead people, though.
No dead people, but great antenna.
Probably.
Okay. Well, see, same thing with my son. Since he was two, he was able to see my dad. And he doesn't like to talk about it so much because it's not exactly common on the playground to talk about these kinds of things. But also, too, I think it scares him a little bit to not have the context, because I don't have these gifts. I just interview a lot of people who do. But I try to guide him and connect him accordingly to some people that can help him feel like this isn't so weird or whatever. But it's not like it's an everyday thing that he talks about. But once every 6 months, he'll say, oh, Mom, Grandpa's holding your hand right now. And at that exact moment, my hand will feel really hot.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so the other day he was saying something. He's like, no, Mom, I just don't think you should go there. And I said, why? He said, it just doesn't feel good in my stomach. And he goes, and in my heart. He said, sometimes if something doesn't feel good in my stomach, I know it's because I'm nervous. But if it's in my heart and my stomach, then I know it's a bad
idea. That's a smart kid right there.
Right? I was like, okay, way to tune into your body. We all have this radar in our body, but we shut it down with our ego and our mind, don't we? What would you recommend to the listener right now to help them kind of get more in tune with their intuition? What do you have any suggestions or exercises they could try to do?
So intuition, or get in touch with their dead people, remembering what I'm an expert on.
Okay. How about their dead people, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, along with my platform of helping people who are grieving, and
yes,
I will not work with anybody who's not willing to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all over my website. And when somebody books a session with me, this includes a very, very thorough explanation of how I work, and also an easy three-step process to help you learn to recognize when your loved ones are connecting with you. So for me, when a bereaved person comes to me for a session, and if I just offer them a validation and a reading, it is the equivalent of them going to the emergency room and getting a shot of Demerol, which, as we all know, is not legal.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I'll give you this awesome painkiller, you feel really good, and then you go away and it wears off and you're left empty-handed again.
Right.
So if a person wants to work with me, they need to be open to learning about how this happens, because mm-hmm. nobody's loved ones are unavailable to them.
Mm-hmm.
It is a matter of being taught in a logical way how to recognize the communication. So this isn't taught in elementary school. Nobody knows what to look for. They're looking for cardinals mm-hmm. when, you know, really they could just be tuning in a different way.
Right. Like looking for the actual being.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Looking for the connections. But again, right. It's not something that people are taught or schooled to know about. So I can go over those three steps if you want to take the time to do that.
It'll
take me 6 or 7 minutes to probably go into it. Enough to get people understanding it.
I would greatly appreciate that.
Okay,
if you
so the first step when you are recognizing the connection with a loved one who's passed is you have to remember that you are a soul having a human experience. So as a soul, you have the capacity to connect on the soul level.
Mm-hmm.
So mental telepathy, feeling and sensing energy, discerning energy, it's all part of who you are.
Right.
There's nothing unnatural about this. And you have to just know in your heart from the get-go that this is something that's normal and natural to you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you are here in Illinois going about your day and you've got a friend that lives in California.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly they're in your mind. You're thinking about them. A few minutes later, the phone rings. You look at the caller ID. It's them, and you pick it up and you say, oh my God, I was just thinking of you.
Mm-hmm.
Ever had that happen?
Absolutely.
Okay. So when your friend out here in California picks up their phone and they start thinking about, oh, I want to call Jen, their energy comes and blends with yours.
Mm.
So the energy of thought brings your soul or spirit together. And when these two energies meet and blend together, you become flooded with thoughts of them. So in essence, you become aware of their spiritual presence with you. You are discerning their spirit.
Yes.
Whether they are alive or dead.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that is why that phenomena happens when right before somebody texts you or calls you, they're suddenly in your mind.
Yes.
Okay? So it's the same thing. If a loved one who's passed away wishes to communicate with you, and they do, okay, they focus their thoughts on you.
Mm-hmm.
And as they focus on you, their energy comes and blends with yours,
mm-hmm.
and you become flooded with thoughts of them out of the blue. So the great thing about this method is that you are not trying to make it happen. You are not reaching. You're not meditating and sitting there and praying and hoping. All you have to do is go live.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So let's say it's a Tuesday afternoon. You're at work. You got out your budget, the calculator numbers, and boom, all of a sudden you start thinking about your dad who's passed away.
Right.
So if you can learn to recognize that moment when your thoughts are interrupted by the thoughts of a loved one,
mm-hmm.
you can now begin the communication. So the first step is simply learn to recognize the moment when you become flooded with thoughts of a loved one out of the blue.
Perfect.
Okay?
Yep.
So the second step is that you will want to validate that it is real and that it is happening for you in that moment. So literally everyone feels a little bit crazy when they first try to communicate with an unseen energy.
Of course, yeah.
So what we want to do is teach you to validate their presence with you. And you can do that by feeling, physically feeling the energy. So everybody has the ability to sense and feel energy. You've been doing it your entire life. Mm-hmm. So let's say you go out to San Francisco to the Alcatraz, this old jail, right?
Right.
You're walking around in there and you're like, oh man, this place gives me the creeps. I got the heebie-jeebies. I want to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Nobody's poking you with sticks, but you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this exact opposite is true. Let's say you go to a beautiful place, some chapel, like the Sistine Chapel or a garden, a spa, whatever, and you walk in, you're like, oh, I feel so relaxed here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this place has such a good vibe. So nobody's giving you a shoulder rub. You're just tuning in and feeling the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people can play a little game. Mothers are good at this, where they can stand facing one way in a room and they can put one of their children behind them and they can't see them and they can probably guess who it is just mm-hmm. by the way they feel.
Yes. Yes.
So when somebody who's deceased is focusing their thoughts on you and their energy comes and blends with yours, there is a subtle shift that occurs in the way that you feel physically.
Mm.
The most common thing that people tell me is that they got the goosebumps.
Yes.
Right. So I'm standing there mm-hmm. washing the dishes and all of a sudden I start thinking about my mom and then I got the goosebumps and I knew she was with me. The second most common thing is the exact opposite. You get the chills. Or sorry, you don't
hot.
Get the chills. Hot.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, I was standing there thinking about my mom and all of a sudden this warmth spread across my chest and I could just feel her with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel something that's not either one of those. So I have a brother who passed away when he was 30 years old. That was 20 years ago. And when he connects with me, I first see his face in my mind. And then I get this big adrenaline rush. Like I just have a huge adrenaline dump and my heart rate gets really, really fast. So that's how I feel and sense him.
Nice.
But the thing is that you're looking for a sudden and very subtle shift.
Yes.
So you're feeling one way and then all of a sudden you feel a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you can validate, okay, something's going on. I need to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes you into the third step, which is to receive the communication.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just turn the tables for a minute. Let's say you have died.
Mm-hmm.
You're awesome.
Okay.
You are in good shape. Mm-hmm. You are healed from everything that has ever bothered you physically and emotionally.
Right. No more pain.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're good, man. You are so good. And you are able to see and witness your loved ones and you see them falling apart without you. You know that they cannot hear you and you know that you cannot speak to them and you have to communicate something to them through thought and emotion. What are you going to choose to communicate?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of you. I love you. You're loved.
Right.
You're not alone.
I love you. I'm right here. The mm-hmm. money's in the sock drawer. Right?
Right.
That's the basic.
Yes. Yes.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean,
totally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to know where the money is.
Of course. or why they didn't get any.
Right. We spent it all. Spent it all. So when your loved one is sending you this message and you're newly bereaved,
mm-hmm.
the messages are likely to be pretty short and simple. It is going to be, I love you, I'm okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
It comes into your mind as a quick thought.
Mm-hmm.
If you can learn to trust that and work with that, you will go into a place that's more conversational.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when my brother connects with me now, I don't get him telling me he's okay. After 20 years, I know that.
Yeah, you know that.
We're all good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I have to pay closer attention to what he might be communicating to me. And it can run the gamut. If I'm writing, I've had him show up and say, I love this piece you're working on, or show up on my birthday and wish me a happy birthday, or tell me to check in with my sister. You know, it's like, it's literally anything. Sometimes I receive a thought from him and I sit there and I question. I don't know what it is. And then like a day or two later, it all pans out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
That is interesting.
It is interesting.
Do you think that we have these persistent life challenges, just your belief system as Molly, like that they come so that we can try to heal them? Like for the people that have, you know, a rough road, whether it's with loss or with employment or with relationships, do you think that that is true?
I do believe that cycles and patterns repeat themselves until we figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you constantly, for example, find yourself in relationships with abusive people,
yeah,
it is not until you have learned to love yourself and to say no to that abuse and walk away from it that will stop repeating. Because what happens is, let's say you grew up with an alcoholic parent.
Yeah.
Right. And so you have all of the dysfunction. And then later in life, you meet somebody and you have this sudden big feeling of knowing them, right? And people think, ooh, I met my soulmate, and mm-hmm. he feels so familiar to me. But it's really just the behaviors and the patterns that you're recognizing as something repeating from your childhood. And then the next thing you know, you're head over heels in this relationship. 2 weeks down the road, you find out he's a raging alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And until you find strength to get something better for yourself, you're just going to keep repeating that with different people.
Right. They'll come up as a different cast member with yep. a different costume on.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, too, like you say, that when we pass away, there's just love. They're all okay. Like, even the bad and the good, they're all okay. That's another piece that I think people have trouble forgiving themselves a lot of times.
The forgiveness is a big deal for everybody, mm-hmm. whether we're forgiving somebody else or ourselves. It's,
right.
it's really hard. I remember a couple years ago, somebody made a comment on my Facebook page when I shared my thought that everybody who dies goes to a place of healing. And she said, well, I bet 7 million Jews aren't too happy to hear that. You know, and it brings up really big issues, like,
sure.
because a lot of us are conditioned to believe that there's a set heaven and hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have found that there's an afterlife.
Right.
You know, we're not all hanging out together in the afterlife, but I haven't seen that there's a place where the good people go and the place where the bad people go. And I've done readings for people. I've had three really distinct readings that I can remember. One of them is a woman whose mother and father had sexually abused her.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to me for a reading. Now, I did not know this in advance, right? And the information is given so that she understands
mm-hmm.
Who is coming through. And, you know, the first part of the reading was her parents listing one accomplishment after another that she has made since their passing, and then acknowledging the deep sorrow for what had transpired between them. She told me her whole story afterwards, but she found it a way to find a lot of healing and closure for herself with that really terrible thing that had happened to her. And her parents were not suffering in hell.
Right, right.
You know, so that's what I mean by people are given what they need when they pass. These are people who are probably mentally ill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And they have to heal that part of themselves. And part of that is making it up to their daughter and doing what they can to help her heal.
Right. So that's what I was going to ask you. Is there homework on the other side for those spirits that pass?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think there's homework for everybody. The thing is we're always in a phase of growth.
Sure.
Whether we're growing in a body at a very, very rapid rate. You know, mm-hmm. I think spiritual growth is maybe a little slower on the other side because it's so nice there. We're not being challenged.
Right, right. And for those that I've interviewed who've had the near-death experience and they talk about, Dr. Mary Neal, who wrote To Heaven and Back, 30 minutes without oxygen. You know, she's a living miracle. She knows she was hanging out with Jesus, you know, and she was a convenient Christian. It's not like she was one of those really, you know,
yep.
Bible thumpers. And she said that the feeling that she had of that complete unconditional love, that there was, I mean, she did not want to come back. And it's hard for us to wrap our head around that kind of bliss. I think when life is so tangled and messy and our reality is sticky.
It is sticky. And, you know, one of the questions that people come to me with, even though they come to connect with their deceased loved ones. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to know, am I on the right path?
Right, exactly. What's my divine purpose?
Am I on the right path? And, you know, the answer is always the same. You can't be on the wrong path. Your life purpose is to come and have a human experience. So as long as you're having experiences, you're not screwing up.
Correct. And, you know, even if you're hurting other people along the way, there's some sort of...
still having an experience.
Exactly. Do you believe in karma?
It's interesting. Have you read the book, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers?
No.
Okay, so this is a really interesting book.
Okay.
I don't know if it's, you know, if it's valid and true and everything, but I love the story and I love what it presents. So this lady connected with her brother
mm-hmm.
in the afterlife, and she says that she dictated and wrote this book with his assistance.
Okay.
Guided book. And he had a terrible addiction disease here.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and told her about how wonderful the experiences of his life were and what he learned from it. And so a lot of people who have people that pass from addictions and stuff, you know, they view their lives as having been a big failure
mm-hmm.
or not reached their potential. And yet here we have a different view from a soul where it was all good and they learned so much and he was at this great place of peace.
Mm.
And I like that thinking.
That's incredible. Do you have any other examples of some readings recently that maybe some continuing through lines that you've noticed more of lately that you want to express to our listeners that can help them kind of think, I would say more glass half full than glass half empty.
Okay, so I've done like 25 readings in the last 3 days.
20 days? Yeah, exactly.
No, 3 days.
Got it. So your brain is mush.
I can tell you tons of examples, but like give me an example of what you mean by continuing through.
Well, I just think, just give me an example of a story that's fresh in your mind, because I believe everybody can relate to some sort of story of loss, whether it's in their immediate family or their spouse's family. And now is a good time of year as any to kind of feel hopeful.
Sure. Well, one of the people that I did a reading for was actually just the client that I left just before coming over to the studio. Actually, I don't end up crying very often.
Yeah.
Because you have to stay out of that person's energy to provide them with a really good reading.
Sure.
And near the end, I couldn't help it. I had to cry. This beautiful young woman had passed away in her 30s of cancer, and her mother, I don't know how her mother found me last year, but it was literally like 10 days after her passing. Mm. And I did a reading for her mother last year, and the mother had booked another session with me this year. And both readings were wonderful. But the mother is this very gentle, very, very loving, loving woman.
Mm-hmm.
And near the end of the reading, her daughter showed me in my mind an image of her clasping a necklace around her mother's neck. And I heard her say, "Gift." And the mom, you know, started weeping. And she said that her daughter's husband had received instruction before her daughter passed to take her wedding ring and have it made into a necklace for her mother. And she had recently gotten that.
Mm.
Okay. So fast forward to the reading I had this morning. Mm-hmm. And I had a gentleman come in for a session. He sat down. We start connecting, and I immediately tune in, and I see this young woman, and I begin to talk about her, and he says, "Yes, yes, yes." And then I saw that mother's face in my head, and I said, "Wait, is so-and-so your mother-in-law?" And he said, "Yes."
Ah!
And
wow.
The connection was really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
He was skeptical to the point of not believing when he came in, and he was flat out about it. And I said, "Okay, all of that is great. Thank you for telling me." I said, "But you are at least willing to try."
Yes.
So the very last thing that communicated, this is where I started crying, was I said to him, I said, "Do you like coffee?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, in my mind, I see you standing in front of a coffee shop that I know is out in Seattle." I said, "Are you going to Seattle?" And he goes, "No."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Okay, well, your wife is showing me this image of you standing in front of Pete's Coffee," and this huge smile came over his face, and he looked at me and he said, "She called me Pete." He said that was like her secret name for me.
Oh my gosh.
And he started crying, and then I started crying, because you know, the young lady who had passed, she's just one of these really gentle, beautiful souls.
Yeah.
So that was really, really, you know, a nice thing that happened for him.
Mm-hmm.
I had a family yesterday who had lost a very young boy. He had lived to be 12, but when he was 4, he had taken a dose of an over-the-counter medicine that actually ended up being recalled, that batch of it, and he had gotten a terrible liver disease.
Oh, no.
And I had his mom there, his brother, his aunt and cousin, and then his grandmother and grandfather were all there. And again, it's like this little kid, and he was almost nonverbal. He was so sick when he was here. And the lightness and joy that come through for the family and the things that he talks about that he loved here. And I guess the thing that I like about this kid was how much joy he experienced with his family while he was here. So his life was filled with illness.
Wow.
And it was only 12 years of it. And so everyone is really devastated. And yet his soul is so fulfilled by the love that he got from this family.
Right.
You know, there are people who come into this world that have no connection with their mothers and their fathers and all of this. And this young kid had so much love around him.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was really incredible. I'm trying to see if I can remember any like specific evidence or details from the readings, because there's always really funny little things like
sure.
that Pete's Coffee that comes up.
Mm-hmm. But, or a tattoo or a nickname, like you said, Pete.
Yeah, nicknames are good. Mm-hmm. Tattoos are so-so. Everybody has a tattoo.
Yeah, but if you can specifically, I've witnessed at times where it's like, you know, the ladybug tattoo, this one lady specific.
It can be really interesting for sure.
When you were talking about that 12-year-old boy, I just got so emotional and my eyes welled up. And then I got goosebumps on both arms.
He was really a sweet kid.
Yeah.
He was really sweet. And he never complained about being sick ever.
Amazing.
I'll probably remember more about him.
Yeah,
Another thing that happened in a reading recently that I really loved, and this is a really, really great story. And this is one that's worth telling.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was walking that gentleman, the Pete's Coffee guy, out to the elevator, I said, you know, even in the face of loss, you have to believe that things line up for your higher good, mm-hmm. one way or the other.
Right.
So my daughter got an internship at Perry Ellis in New York this summer, mm. and she was working there. She called me one afternoon, absolutely devastated, and she said, Mom, my favorite coworker's mother died this morning, this past weekend. She goes, I don't know what to do. She goes, should I tell him or not? He's just so upset. And I'm like, I don't know, Emma. I said, just let it sit for a little bit and follow your heart. Mm-hmm. So about 2 weeks later, it was Men's Fashion Week, and the two of them were working together to dress the models. And this one model came up and asked if he could change the playlist. And Emma said to her friend, he's going to go over there and put on this remix by this artist. You just watch. And the model went over there and turned on that exact song. And her friend looked at her and said, how did you know that? Are you psychic? And she goes, well, there is this thing. You see, there's this dirty little family secret. So she told her friend
yeah.
about what I do. The friend immediately called his dad back in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Next day, unbeknownst to me, all of this is going on. I get a reading request from some man, and I tune in, and you know, his wife had just passed. And as I'm doing the reading, I'm beginning to make all the connections. Mm-hmm. That this was Emma's friend's dad.
Right.
And then I did a reading for Emma's friend. And so this is a very young man. He's about 25 or so. He lives out in New York. And I said, your mom is showing me this image of a crack in the sidewalk. And I keep hearing that little rhyme, step on a crack, bake your mother's mac. I know that that's kind of a strange thing, I said, but there's something about walking over a crack on a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And he says to me, he said, I have my favorite picture of my mom and I, and my partner just blew it up for me. It's on my wall. We were holding hands, walking down the street, and our feet are stepping over a crack.
Wow.
Right in that. Mm. And he sent me the picture and looked at it. But you know, it's just like, I love that story because this family was facing the loss of their 53-year-old mother mm-hmm. from cancer. Right. It was devastating. She left behind three gorgeous children. One of them just got married. And yet, even in the face of all that great loss, somehow the universe kind of collided to bring them to somebody who could offer them some glimpse of healing because they were open to it.
And that, too, that coincidence, right, of the collision yes. with your daughter and the internship and the son, obviously not a coincidence, very guided. We were just sharing a story before going on air that you got a call from somebody who was out in California. Can you retell that story?
Yeah. So I got on the phone with a client last week, and she's out in California. And I asked her, like, oh, have you ever met with a medium before? What kind of experiences do you have with spirituality? Because I like to know where somebody's coming from. And she mm-hmm. goes, oh, well, the only thing I've ever done is I read a book by a classmate of mine. And the book is called It's Spiritual, Damn It. And I said, what?
I'm going to go chat with Jennifer. I'm Spiritual, Damn It, Weigel.
That's what I was like. I'm meeting her next week. That's so weird. And I said, how did you get all that? And she goes, oh, well, I went to school with her and back in Chicago. And I was like, okay.
And the thing is I don't write about you in my book. Like, this is the first time we've met.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact of the subject matter of psychics, I feel like that book especially, because it's kind of a funnier book in the sense that nobody dies in it. You know, yeah. My first book, Stay Tuned, it kind of chronicled when I first dipped my toe into this pond and started interviewing different mediums and psychics because my father had passed away from a brain tumor at the age of 56. Then I come out with that book. Everybody feels the need to share their that's weird stories with me, which helped me compile the stories for yes. I'm Spiritual, Damn It. So everyone from a firefighter to a CEO saying that he sees colors around people and that's how he makes all his decisions, you know, and sometimes the dead people talk behind those people to give him extra guidance. So it's like they're using these gifts, but they're keeping it on the down low and then they're telling me about it and then I put them in the book. And that book seems to be a bridge to get people to people like you.
Yeah,
because then suddenly they go, oh, you mean not everybody who's just up on a hill in a toga, you know, burning incense? Because that's the thing that people have, these weird perceptions of what a medium is. And you're a gorgeous lady from Sheboygan, honey.
Right. Oh, listen, I keep it on the way, DL. I absolutely never tell anybody what I do until I'm pressed. I was at a Christmas party last Thursday and got absolutely verbally attacked by this woman.
What?
I saw a friend of mine at the party. We're sitting there having a chat, and she goes, oh, Molly, this is my friend Lenora. And I was like, oh, Lenora, so nice to meet you, right? Mm-hmm. And this woman then is like, oh, so what do you do for a living? And I'm like, mm-hmm, like, uh-oh. I'm looking for a party planner. I'm like, she was relentless. Well, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm a medium. Do you know what that is? And she goes, yes, I do. And I'm a Christian, so I wish you would stop.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, put on the brakes here real fast. And, you know, it's funny because looking back at that moment, I'm like, I don't know where my inner bitch was in that moment when I really needed her. But I stood there and attempted to talk to this woman. And, you know, I retorted to her and I said, well, I know a lot of Christians that do this work. And
absolutely.
Support it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure why you have some bad feelings about it.
Yep.
And, you know, and she just went on with the insult. And then she says to me, well, you know, I'm a Christian, so I just believe we should all love each other. That way I can talk to you. I can talk to you and convince you that what you're doing is wrong. And I just looked at her and I said, you know, I said, I'd have to talk to you then and tell you why what I do is right.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, meanwhile, I'm sending up smoke signals to my girlfriends like, come help, come
right,
help.
Right, please. Or how about some dead people? Help me. Get this lady off of me.
Yeah, I mean, I just, there are still people out there.
Yep.
God love them.
Well, I get emails from them all the time. They tell me I'm going straight to hell for doing interviews like
time.
This. And it's so exhausting because I wish the people who worship Jesus would act a little more Jesus-y.
Absolutely.
You know, loving, tolerant, intelligent. There's that. But the thing is that it's like they've misunderstood the Bible. And I actually talk about this and I'm spiritual, damn it. I had a Roman Catholic priest tell me all the places in the Bible where mediumship is practiced. And he said the people that tell you that they're, quote, Christians that say this
Jesus
is the devil, then Jesus was a medium of all mediums. There you go. But there are multiple instances in the Bible, and the people that say this is not going with the Bible don't know the Bible. That's what I say. There's a thing called Corinthians. It's the gifts of the Spirit. Thanks to Echo Bodine, she teaches about that. But, you know, she has a Lutheran pastor come to her Center for Intuitive Development, talk about all the places in the Bible that not only talk about mediumship, but past lives, reincarnation, all these things. So, you know, I think everybody can just sort of interpret whatever they want to get whatever message they want from it. It's sort of like the news today. People are making up fake news sites because they want to believe a certain something to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, it's exhausting.
It is exhausting. I don't get it in person very often. I mean, I have a really huge Facebook following, so I'm every day I have to delete and ban people, and I don't give it any more thought.
Right. Good for you. You have to protect yourself.
Like, when it happens in person, it sticks with me a little bit more, and especially when it happens in my own hometown, because everybody in Sheboygan knows me. It's a town of 50,000 people.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows me. I can't go out.
Right. Okay. So there you have it. So that, shame on that lady for not knowing ahead of time who you were.
Well, no, I don't feel like that. But I'm like, you know, if you're really a Christian,
right?
You know, maybe just be nice at a Christmas party.
Yeah.
Maybe just drop the topic.
Yes.
Instead of standing there and insulting somebody. But, you know, that's what her platform was so whatever.
So the most recent one I got was from a lady. She's like, I just want you to know I'm praying for your soul at night.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I just wrote back, awesome. Thanks.
I take all the prayers I can get.
Smiley prayer emoji. Bring it on.
I love when people tell me I should be ashamed of myself. I get that one a lot.
Yeah.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. They should be ashamed for saying that. And then that goes back to the whole, I'm just as bad as they are if I'm casting a stone right back because I'm keeping the tennis match going. You know, it's like if you throw the ball over.
I absolutely don't ever cast a stone back. Never. Mm-hmm. I did have to say something because I was there in person with that other woman.
Of course.
But, you know, my bottom line is this. When somebody comes up to me and says, you know, you're channeling demons. That's what it says in the Bible.
Yeah.
That the dead are at rest until the second coming of Christ. And you're channeling demons that are pretending to be loved ones.
Right.
And I'm like, well, if a demon comes through with loving messages to help heal relationships, then I'll take the demon.
Over your demonic ass. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, I mean, I gave it some thought.
Right.
I gave it some thought. I had to really, really, really deeply think about what are the repercussions of what I'm doing? What are the eternal repercussions of what I'm doing? Is it okay for me to charge people to do this? Is it okay for me to make a living doing this?
Yes.
I had to really sit down and give it some thought. And I have decided that what I am doing, if I have to meet my maker at the end of at all and explain what I did, I'm okay with all of that because I'm doing what I really feel is fair and right and conscious. And I see the results of helping people live the promise of their own life.
Fantastic. And that is why I continue to have these conversations, because you cannot learn information if you don't ask questions. As I point out often on this program, people used to think it was okay to smoke. complete with doctors doing the PSAs in 1949.
I tell people that all the time. Yeah. I'm like, everybody used to smoke indoors with kids around. Like, everybody thought it was fine.
With the windows rolled up in the station wagon. Absolutely. In an airplane. And remember, aisle 9 was non-smoking, but aisle 10 was smoking.
Right.
Right. In a flying Petri dish. So we have to keep asking questions. We have to keep gathering information. Otherwise, we'll never evolve as a species. And, you know, I'm really grateful that we could have this conversation today so that whoever listened, if they want to find you, they go to MollyMorningstar.com, and that's MOLLIE Morningstar.com. Click on events. Go see Molly. She's got some stuff coming up in Wisconsin. I'm trying and begging to get her back to Chicago for an event. We're going to try to see how we can coordinate, because a conversation with you is very wonderful, and I'm grateful for all that you bring to the table and for the work that you do. So thank you for doing all of it and for speaking about it and keeping that communication open. It's really important.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.
Stay spiritual, all of you. I'm Jen Weigel, jenweigel.com, and we'll see you next time.